Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful town of Mechelen in Belgium for Techorama 2016. I've got with me a good friend, Hadi Hariri. How you doing, buddy? Did I say it right?
No, but...
How do you say your last name?
Hariri.
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 There you go, there you go.
Yeah, it's a Golnaz going in there with the... So how you doing,
Finally,
bud?
Someone that says it right.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So last time we spoke, and I just put the video out, I think today, we talked about Rider, which is really cool. Yeah. But that's not the only work you guys do. Tell us about some of the other stuff you guys do at JetBrains.
Yeah, so calculating, this will go out in about 8 months.
Dude, he was harassing me.
Yes. No, it's you.
I need some harassment.
You're good.
Some harassment.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, we do a lot of things, you know, we've got like 20 tools, but one of my things that I've been working on most lately has been, well, lately, for the past 4 years, has been Kotlin, mm-hmm. which is our open source language for the JVM and JavaScript. And so we started working on it for like 6 years ago, and we released it this year, February.
So Kotlin, tell us a little bit about the language itself, because the interesting thing that you said to me is that it works on the JVM, which is sort of a Java, well, traditionally old school Java, but now there's other tools on top of it like Scala and others. So tell us about that. But the thing that was interesting to me was you said also JavaScript, which was interesting. So let's start with the traditional sort of approach.
So like the JVM is, I mean, it's like .NET, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a virtual machine on which you have multiple languages. I think the difference was that traditionally, because kind of like in the JVM space, there wasn't a single prominent vendor, mm-hmm. There's been like many languages that have been created. So you have Scala, you have Java, Clojure, Frege, which is a Haskell implementation of on the JVM. And so we created Kotlin. And primarily we did this for our own use, right? Because, you know, we've got like 20 tools, but except our .NET tools, everything else is built with Java.
Right.
Right, so all of our IDEs, all of our teamwork tools, all they're built with Java. And Java isn't very concise. Mm-hmm. It's really not concise. And it's kind of like already...
It's a little wordy.
And we were looking for a language that was kind of more concise, that was safe, that was toolable, interoperable, because you go, no, at that point we had 10 years of code that we're gonna just throw out, right? Yeah. We're not some Silicon Valley VC back thing, let's just rewrite this in Node.
Not yet.
So there were a couple of candidates, namely Scala and Ceylon. Ceylon is by Red Hat, but for different purposes they didn't fit. Mm-hmm. And we decided to basically in the end say, let's create our own language. So first and foremost, we did this and we've done this for ourselves. But it's got a lot of good, you know, reception in the community as well.
So what are the things that Kotlin sort of shines through with Kotlin that you couldn't get with standard Java or the other JVM type languages?
So one of the first things, it's null safe, right? So you know how in C# you can have nullable types.
Right.
Kotlin is null safe. So by default, types can't have nulls. So you get rid of the $1 billion mistake.
Sure.
Then it's very concise. So a couple of like key features and conventions that we follow allow us to create really nice looking DSLs in a very concise way.
I see.
So that makes it very expressive as well. Also, it's got lambdas. So back then, Java didn't have lambdas,
right.
You know? So it's funny, because you know I've been in the .NET space, I'm in the Java space, and now, the Java folks are having the same arguments that we had, right? So when lambdas came out, they're like, no, this is gonna break everything. And then, you know, they're now doing the var.
Remember? Really?
Yeah, so now Java 9 is gonna have var, or they're discussing it, and people are like, no, this is gonna make code really bad and not readable. And you're like, no, you know, nobody died. However, JavaScript has taken off, so I'm wondering if we were to blame for that.
Yeah, that's
with
true.
The whole var
oh,
thing,
geez.
Right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things that we added to make it kind of like, you know, expressive, less concise, less more concise. So just to give you an idea, like if you take Java code, the same code, you can cut it down by around 40% using Kotlin. And believe it or not, like even, I'll give you a really simple example. A Java bin or a Pojo or a Plano CLR object, right? You have the typical properties, fields, and then you have the getters, the setters in Java. Then you have the two string, the get hash code. All of that is just one line in Kotlin, because we have an annotation called data, which gives you the two string, the equality, and that. So you say, okay, the IDE generates this for me. Yes, but every time you change a property, you need to regenerate. And not only that, you don't know if what you've got is actually just generated code or you have modified it.
Right.
So why have all of this boilerplate code when you don't need it? This is where we try to focus.
But that's interesting, right? Because I mean, there's conciseness, and then there's terseness, right? Are you going like full Perl on this, or
I mean? No, we, one of our goals has always been to keep code readable and maintainable. So one of the differences between Scala and Kotlin, which is kind of like the main competitor, so to speak, because we also make a Scala IDE, right? Is that, for example, in Scala, the language really doesn't give you much limitations. Like, you could do anything you want. You can override any symbol to mean anything. We don't do that. We limit you on purpose, because we don't want you to end up with a code base which is hard to maintain and read.
Sure.
Right? I know that's somewhat subjective on what is readable, but within bounds, you can objectively say that X amount of, you know, this code is readable. So we try and avoid that.
So you started Kotlin because you build a lot of Java type stuff. All your IDEs sort of are Java based. How much of Kotlin are you actually using to build these IDEs?
Right now, in over 10 products, we're using Kotlin. So even before it was released, we were already using it in around 10 products. So IntelliJ IDEA, which is our main kind of like IDE on the JVM side, that already has Kotlin code in it. We actually have products that are exclusively Kotlin code. So Jet Profile, JetBrains accounts, when you sign on, all of the licensing stuff, all of that is now Kotlin code.
So that was really well dog-fooded in a sense. What were some things you learned as you started to use Kotlin that you thought, oh man, we should add this language feature?
We actually removed a lot of stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
We actually removed a lot of stuff. And Andre Breslau, the team lead, he's quite conservative in things. So you really need to have convincing reasons for him to add something to a language. And that's a good thing.
It's a good
right?
thing, yeah.
And so, but one of the things that, you know, people could easily understand to, without knowing the language, is Kotlin is null safe, right? Java isn't. One of our goals was to be completely interoperable, because we couldn't rip out Java code and just say, let's rewrite this. So you can call Java code from Kotlin and Kotlin code from Java. Now, if you call a method in Java, Java can return a null. How do you deal with that in Kotlin that's not null safe? So what we did, we said, we have, okay, you have nullable types, and then every time you would invoke a Java method, we have this thing called the Elvis operator, which is kind of like the So question mark, which I think C# 7,
yeah,
6 has
dot.
It. Yeah. Question dot. So what happened is that people were using their Java libraries and your Kotlin code base had questions everywhere, right? Because everything was nullable. So we said, okay, that's not gonna look pretty.
Yeah.
You know, I don't wanna see a code base with question mark everywhere. So we said, okay, you know what? Let's do an annotated library. So we would annotate your library, and where it wasn't needed, we would drop that question mark. Didn't really work either. In the end, we just said, you know what? You know better than us. If you know it's nullable, add a question mark and then treat it as a nullable type in Kotlin. If you're sure it's not nullable, then just
let it go.
Let it go.
So that's interesting how you sort of, you built this language for yourselves, you were impressed by it, and now you're releasing it as well. Does your IDEs, and this is gonna be an obvious yes question, but can you tell us how? Do your IDEs support Kotlin? And if so, what are some of the tooling benefits you get from a language like Kotlin?
So yeah, one of our goals, because we believe in tools, was to make a language that's toolable.
Sure.
And so all of our IDEs, IntelliJ IDEA and IntelliJ Community Edition, which is free, supports Kotlin. But beyond, we don't, you know, our model isn't to lock into the IDEs, right?
Sure.
You can use Maven, Gradle, Ant, command line, anything you want to work with Kotlin. But what we did find that was really beneficial was, apart from adding features, during like the early period, like what we called the milestones of the versions of the language, when we would drop something or when we would change something, we would provide you with quick fixes in the IDE. So we would first say, you know, in the next version, this will be deprecated. hit Alt Enter to fix it.
Right.
Right. So we would, and you could do like a search and replace, and it would structurally search and replace and upgrade it. And we found that that's actually beneficial because we can guide you through the migration process.
And that's important, right? Because anytime something is deprecated, you get all these warnings, but you've also added the facility now, and it's just sort of, this is how you fix it.
Yeah.
So the other part, so we've talked about Kotlin in general on top of the JVM. You mentioned JavaScript in conjunction with Kotlin. Can you tell us that story a little bit?
Yeah, so if we didn't deploy to JavaScript, we wouldn't be hip, right?
Of
all
course.
The hipsters are doing it, so we had to do it. No, but in all seriousness, like we like static typing, and we believed in static typing. And again, take into account that also, because you might ask, well, TypeScript. We started this before TypeScript even, you know, was announced. But given that, like, a lot of the you know, applications you make nowadays, it's got a server side, it's got a client side.
Sure.
You share a lot of business code, mm-hmm. right? So now you can actually write your business code in Kotlin and compile to the JVM and compile to the JavaScript.
Is it like a transpiler kind of thing?
Yeah, it's transpiled. So in JavaScript, it transpiles to the JavaScript backend just transpiles to JavaScript.
Right.
And then we emit ES6 standard. And what we're doing now is like, so we're making it to be interoperable with modules, with the node module system, et cetera. And create again, we're trying to make sure that anything we create on the JavaScript side is again readable. So not, you don't need source maps to kind of, well, you do, but you don't for debugging, but right. you don't create these cryptic single line JavaScript jQuery minimize kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure, sure, sure. Right? So what's the uptake been on Kotlin? How have people received Kotlin? Tell us about some success stories.
So first of all, because it's compatible with JDK 6, Java 6, it had a serious uptake on Android, right? Because Android developers by and large lacked lambdas.
Right.
And you got a lot of event handlers, so you need that, right?
Right?
Then in addition, because of some key features that allows us to create nice DSLs, you can create like static type views. So in Android, you have the same as XAML. Right, which is the same as JavaFX. So imagine a statically typed XAML, right, where you can say button, curly braces, height, etc. So those are some things that have had a lot of adoption on the Android side. Beyond that, we've also seen, you know, obviously, and our goal is to make an industrial language that is for all purposes. There's been server-side adoption as well. I mean, recently we've heard of Netflix. Are starting to do some stuff internal, and they're giving some talks about it in a month in San Francisco. We have Prezi, which was the presentation software.
Yeah, of course.
Expedia has an Android application, NBC Digital. So there's a lot of companies that are actually using it, but you know yourself that not everyone pings you and says, hey, we're using Kotlin.
Yeah, of course.
But there are quite a lot. And since the release, it's been like, exponential.
That's awesome. So if people are interested, where can they go to find out more about Kotlin to get started?
KotlinLang.org, and there they can try online without even downloading. We have a series of koans that they can try the language, get documentation, tooling, everything.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Thank you for having me.
Again, we're here in Mechelen in Belgium for Techorama 2016. This is Channel 9. My name is Seth Juarez. We will catch you next time. Take care.